Turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verse 15. The book of the prophet Hosea, chapter 2, verse 15. I will give her her vineyards from thence, and a valley of Achor for a door of hope. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The name Achor, that's the same as the word Achan, the name of the man, means the valley of trouble. And last week we began by looking at the first of the valleys of the Bible, and we were looking at the valley of Bachar, the place of weeping, and saw how very much this had to do with our daily experience and of life. Today we come to look at something that is quite different. Something that is set really against the background of the prophecy of Hosea. Hosea, you'll remember, was a prophet who had a broken heart. He had an unfaithful wife who had gone away from him. And the domestic circumstances of Hosea were such that they reflected for him the message that God had to give through him to Israel. His unfaithful wife, and yet all the time Hosea was a longing and a loving husband. She was away from him, but his love for her never got less. In fact, he sought her out in the end. And he uses this domestic tragedy and shows how that God has never ceased to love his people and never will cease to love his people, though they have gone away from him, though they have wandered away. And his intention and his aim all the time is to bring them back into that vital fellowship with himself which once they enjoyed. This is the background of Hosea, the story of God's eternal desire for the restoration of his people. And just as Hosea has applied this to Israel in the national sense, so we can see that God would use it for ourselves as individuals. And he would say to us this morning, I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. First of all, we must catch something of the significance of the valley if we would realize what the meaning of this particular verse really is. The significance of the valley of Achor. It was very, very important regarding the children of Israel and regarding their entry into Canaan. I just remind you swiftly that the children of Israel have come out of Egypt and they have come through the wilderness. Instead of going straight into the promised land when they first came to Kadesh Barnea, because of unbelief they have had to wander for 40 years. They have come to the other side of Jordan, and there Moses has been taken from them and the leadership given to Joshua, his understudy. They had come miraculously through the River Jordan. They had come to the city of Jericho, where we all remember the story of the tremendous victory God gave them over the inhabitants of Jericho. What a wonderful thing this was. They're entering upon the promised land at last. They've entered in by the miraculous pathway that God opened for them through the river. They've come to the first place where the captain of the host of the Lord appeared to Joshua, and they've discovered what a wonderful God they have. Victory. Without, as it were, a fight. Then they move on to Ai. And when they move on to Ai, this little town, they were very sure of themselves. So sure of themselves that they said, we won't bother to take the whole army, we'll just take a few people. We'll soon manage to demolish Ai after the victory of Jericho. And to their utter surprise and confusion, the people of Ai came out and routed Israel. And this is what we read about in our reading. And Joshua discovers that the reason for their defeat at Ai lies with one man, Achan, trouble. He disobeyed God's command. When they were going into Jericho for this first battle, they were distinctly given to understand that God had put his ban upon any taking of spoils of war. It was to be devoted to God. It was to be his. And Achan, we read just now, had disobeyed this. His covetous eyes had fallen upon some of the riches in one of the houses of Jericho. And he'd taken it and hidden it, thinking he'd got away with it, thinking that nobody had seen him. And it was this sin, this one sin, by one man, out of the whole nation of Israel that had brought their defeat at Ai. Surely a very graphic and stringent reminder to us that no man sinneth unto himself. This one man had sinned and the whole nation suffered. It didn't seem a very big thing, but it was a very, very important thing so far as God is concerned. You notice that God had no time for Joshua lying on his face praying. It wasn't a time for prayer, it was a time for dealing with sin. And so Joshua is told to get up. No good lying there crying out to me, Joshua. Israel has sinned. Come and deal with the sin, and then you'll know the victory. This is the significance of this valley. There was to be a penalty. And so we find that Achan suffers that penalty. He had backslidden, and therefore all Israel had backslidden. And let us remember that where there is sin in one department of our lives, it will affect every department of our lives. There is no such thing as sin that is not serious. There's no such thing as disobedience to God which doesn't matter. There's no such thing as having something to ourselves, just a little selfish bit of our lives, and giving God the rest. God demands that everything should be subservient to his will. And you can't be subservient to his will if there is one part, one department that is not laid down at his feet. Significance of the battle. It may seem to us that this was a very, very terrible thing. It was a terrible thing. It was a terrible thing because it was such a serious thing. I want you to notice why the significance underlines this and why it is so terrible. These people are on the doorstep of the promised land. They are about to enter into their inheritance that God had promised them way back in Israel when they were slaves. They were being brought into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that they had forfeited 40 years ago, which they could have now for the taking. And they must learn at the very entry of the land of promise that God is not to be trifled with, that sin is a serious business. They will forfeit God's best if they will tolerate sin in their ranks. That's why God dealt with it so seriously. And you see, the Valley of Achor is the place, the significance of it is that it's the place where God saw sin confessed and judged in his people. And remember that all the time they were God's people. Remember that all the time they were his and he was loving them with an everlasting love. He longed to give them the victory as he did at Jericho. He longed to give them another victory like that. But he couldn't because they were not in fellowship with him. Significance of this valley. I wonder whether we're like this. Any of us like this morning? We have been those who have come to the Lord. We have trusted him for our salvation. We have been those who have been born again of his Holy Spirit. And we've been going on in the Christian life, maybe, and we've come somehow to the place where God would give to us all the fullness of his blessings. And somehow we've forfeited it. and things have gone wrong, and we're out of step, and our fellowship with God has become broken, and we can't understand what's happened. We are now in defeat, like the army at Ai did. Our Christian life is not something that's full of joy and praise and vitality and the fullness of God's Spirit. We are knowing defeat, and we're knowing depression, and we're knowing nothing like anything that we've been promised. The land flowing with milk and honey, but a defeated army at Ai. All that God has prepared for us, as we read, of course, in the New Testament, but it's not ours. I wonder whether there's a valley of Achor that hasn't yet come into our experience, where there is a sin unconfessed. And this is what it means for us. That we must come back to the place to confess our sin and then to know its judgment. And of course the Christian sees that his sin is finally judged in Christ. Not suggesting that God will come to bring upon us a judgment such as he did on Achan. We rejoice that when we come to confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But bear in mind all the time, my friends, that God forgives our sin not because he just sweeps away the idea of judging it, but because it has been judged in Christ. And when we have trusted him, then we know the freedom. Then I want you to look at this valley again and see the transformation of the valley. Transformation. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Achor was a place with very dark associations we have been seeing to Israel. And of course anything associated with sin, as far as the Christian is concerned, should have this dark atmosphere about it, something to be shunned. But we read in Hosea here that it's going to be a door of hope. It didn't seem much of a door of hope to them. Those people looked on aghast when there was the execution of Achan and the things that he possessed. They were appalled at it, the severity of it. But Hosea says, this battle, this awful experience of God's judgment in the midst of his people, is a door of hope. We didn't follow on the reading, it would have been too long. But you'll remember that after we came to the end of that first chapter 7, we went on to part of verse 1 in chapter 8. It finished with the chapter 7 saying, the valley of Achor, it was called the valley of Achor unto this day. And then it goes on, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. And if you go back to the first chapter of Joshua, you'll find that's what God said to Joshua when he took over the leadership. Fear not, be of good courage. So God comes to Joshua and says, take the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai. So once this thing had been dealt with, once there had been a revealing in the light of day of the sin of Achan, God comes with reassurance to Joshua and says, I'm the one who called you to this leadership in the first place in chapter 1 there. Fear not, be of good courage. Right. You've dealt with this. Fear not, be not dismayed. Go up against Ai. And the result was that they had tremendous victory. And again, I want us to note the significance of this. At the beginning of their entry into the promised land, after their 40 years of wandering, this was when this particular experience came. And the valley of Achor's significance is further to be seen because geographically and physically, as far as geography of Palestine is concerned, the valley of Achor, which was guarded by this little town of Ai, and which was overshadowed by the fortress city of Jericho, this valley led right up between the mountains into the heart of the promised land. It was a door. And it was a door of hope now to Israel as they came into the promised land. And the valley was transformed by this act of judgment. It was transformed from a place of despair where they wondered how they were going to get the victory over Ai. It was transformed into a place of tremendous promise. For again, there came into their lives and into their national experience, there came an experience of the power and the presence of God in their midst. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And so Hosea comes along to Israel in later history and tells them this, recalls it. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Speaking in terms of Israel as well as speaking concerning his wife. I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And this poor, sinful nation needed some message of hope to their hearts. You will notice that in this same book, chapter 6, verse 1, come, let us return unto the Lord. The burden of Hosea, time and time again. And again, when it comes to the last chapter, verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Again, this note is coming in, you see. They must return to God because they have fallen by their iniquity. Israel in Joshua's day had to return to God. They'd fallen by the iniquity of one man. And the centuries had passed. And Hosea has to report the same thing. And if we are true to the searching of God's Spirit in our hearts, we have to say yes. It's true right down the ages with God's people. God's love poured out for them. God's recall, come back to me. You've gone astray, you've fallen from me. Because of your iniquity. The valley was transformed. The valley of Achor as a door of hope is what we would know. A very unwelcome experience that it might be transformed to become a way of hope means that there is to be a searing experience of God in the life. I wonder when we last knew God in this way. I wonder whether the Lord has brought you to the valley of Achor in order that you might know an end of yourself and a beginning of God. Brought you in order that you might see the awfulness of your sinfulness in the sight of God. Treating our Christian life lightly. Treating our Christian standards cheaply. Thinking that it doesn't matter if we lower our standards. Something of which we shall be speaking next Sunday, God willing. For whether God has brought us to the place of confession and of humility. And because of that, the dawning of a new hope. A door of hope. The misery of sin gone. And communion restored. For God intends that the valley of Achor should be a place of transformation. Place of transformation. I said just now that sin had there to be confessed and there it had to be judged. And let us bear in mind, Christian friends, that once this has been done, it's finished with. There is no more memory of sin so far as God is concerned. So the children of Israel learnt their lesson and they went up into the promised land. But there wasn't another judgment of Achan that was dealt with. Let us encourage one another in this. That sin confessed is sin judged, and sin judged is sin forgiven. Sin forgiven is sin cleansed. Sin cleansed is sin obliterated in the mind of God. Don't let Satan keep you down because of the memory of past failure if you've dealt with it in the Valley of Achor. And finally, the song of the valley. You wouldn't think there's much song about this, would you? But can you imagine the joy of Israel? The verse 15 from which our text comes, I haven't read it in full yet. I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And so you've got this glorious picture of the children of Israel with the victory of Ai behind them going up into the promised land singing through their door of her hope into a new life that was to be a life, intentionally at least, with God. The promise of God, of course, is the same right through Hosea as well. But look back and you'll see something of this song. It tells us she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And when you turn over to the book of Exodus, you read all about it. If you want to read about the song of the delivered people, read it in Exodus chapter 15, the song of Moses. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. It's a wonderful song of deliverance that Moses sang on the far side of the Red Sea after his coming out of Egypt. Oh yes, there is a song then. And Hosea reminds them of the song. Reminds the people of Israel in his day that away back, beyond those days, beyond the days in the wilderness, they came out of a place of slavery and of death with a song on their lips, and he says, look, I want you to have that song now. That's why the Valley of Achor is going to be a door of hope, because it's going to put back into your mouth the song of redemption that once you knew when the Lord brought you as a people out. In other words, he's saying this, I will give you the Valley of Achor for a door of hope, as if you were newly redeemed. As if you had just come into the experience of my grace and of my love toward you. What a great thing to go back into the days of our youth spiritually. What a great thing if the Lord can bring us back to the place where first we saw the Lord and where he first made himself known to us. Remember that the psalmist has this to say in Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Have you lost the song? Have you been to the Valley of Achor and found that there's a song in it? Oh, you shrank from confessing to the Lord. You shrank from humbling yourself before him. And the first glow is gone. The first glow that you had when you professed your conversion, your being born again of the Spirit. The glow which came and the song that's on your lips when you witnessed to Jesus Christ in baptism. The glow when you were really alive to witness for him. The song is hushed. And the glow has faded. It may be because you haven't passed through the Valley of Achor lately, where confession brought renewal. But I do want us to notice that right the way through, these were the people of God. Right the way through, these were the children of Israel whom God had chosen, put his name upon. They were the people who were his in a peculiar way. He's responsible for them. They could never break that relationship. How many times they sinned, they never were other than God's people. Hosea has got this as the burden of his message. They're still mine, says God. As much as my wife is still mine. The relationship couldn't be broken. In the New Testament, the relationship between the prodigal son and his father was never broken. He was always the son of his father. His father was always his father. There was a breaking of fellowship, which could only be renewed when the prodigal turned in repentance. Which could only be renewed when Israel turned in repentance in Hosea. Which could only be renewed when Israel confessed their sin in the Valley of Achor. Which can only be renewed when we've been to the Valley of Achor. But you see, the song comes back when the fellowship comes back. The song comes back when there's the renewal of traffic between us and our God. Song of the Valley. She shall sing there. Just the place where you wouldn't expect. She's going to sing in the very valley of judgment, in the very valley of despair, because that valley has been transformed now to a door of hope. So, my Christian friends, how we need to retrace our steps sometimes and ask the Lord to reveal to us where it was we got out of step with him. And once he shows us this, not treating it lightly or in a trivial way, when the Spirit brings us to confession, we judge it by our confession. And we see it judged upon the cross. I will give the Valley of Achor for a door of hope. And when it's transformed to the door of hope, I'll give you a song. And then Isaiah comes in finally. And he says, and Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the Valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought. And so that closing picture in Isaiah is that the Valley of Achor becomes a place of peaceful oneness with the Lord, feeding in the green pastures, a place of hope, a door of hope indeed. But God has given us this picture book to illustrate what he means when he talks about it to us. Let us be those who indeed turn the place of trouble into a door of hope as we go on with the Lord.